Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Full Metal.
What's up?
Mew's busy with real life shit right now, but interesting stuff is happening in the anime world. By interesting, I mean tragic.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah, what's with all these manga authors working themselves to early graves?
Probably because they work like they probably put everything off to the last minute and then they scramble to get shit done.
Yeah, it's common for them to work 80 plus hours a week. Like, I admire anyone who can do that, but don't kill yourself over it, man.
Yeah, I just walk away. I get too stressed out and just say, fuck this shit.
Oh, I would too, but I respect anyone with that tenacity to stick to a difficult work schedule like that. But it'll kill you. Yes, stress is poisonous. So for those who don't know, we're talking about Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball, and had heavy involvement in Chrono Trigger, Dragon Quest, and some other works. And I really liked his comic, man. You know, Dragon Ball was the second manga I ever got into when I was a kid in the early 90s. This man was such a clearly better cartoonist than almost all of his peers. I love the way he draws action scenes. It's clear, it's easy to tell what's going on, but also dynamic and fascinating. I love everything about the way this guy draws. Now, if you want to call him a shitty writer, I can understand, because Dragon Ball has problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he basically told everybody like his process. Like, he puts shit off to the last minute, and he kind of just like comes up with shit on the fly. So, yeah, that leads to a lot of plot holes. There's so many glaring problems with the stories in this series, but yeah, which is fucking hilarious because despite that, it's still the most iconic series of all time.
Yeah, he was quite a character. When you read interviews with him, it seems like he was baffled at his own level of success. He's just a guy who wanted to draw pervert comics, and he ended up being the biggest cartoonist in his country with works that are recognized all around the world.
Yeah, he just wanted to draw people fighting and boobs, and you know, go figure, everybody likes that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Well, he did Dr. Slump at first. That was his first major work, and that made him popular in Japan, but it was not popular, not famous anywhere else. But then again, plus it was from the early 80s, so there's not a lot of distribution around the world.
Yeah,
more people, including me, found out about Dr. Slump after learning about Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I didn't really know what it was. I hadn't even really heard of it until like way later, and it was only through Dragon Ball. So like, it was just never really popular outside of Japan.
No, but it is something I learned about early in my weeb education.
Something that was interesting about the Dr. Slump manga is at the end of it, when he was like done with it, like he did a little like author's note at the end where he's like, oh, see you guys in the next series, Dragon Ball, you know, if it comes out, which is like really funny to read in hindsight.
Well, looking at the Wikipedia page on his list of works, he has a bunch of one-shots, most of which never went anywhere. Like, including some he was making during Dragon Ball, also before and after.
I can kind of respect that, just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it's common for a lot of manga authors to do tons of one-shots or stuff that goes for like three chapters before stopping. So yeah. I wonder if they have conversations with the editors of their magazines saying, none of the readers like this, come up with something else. Like the JoJo author, Hirohiko Araki, he did a bunch of one-shots before he made JoJo, and they're all crap, but he would recycle character designs or fight ideas. Like he had an early one, I forget the name. It's about this kid magician, I mean, who does stage magic, but the kid looks exactly like Kid Dio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you got a design that works, it works, and no one's gonna fucking care, because it was from some one shot nobody fucking read.
Right, stuff that only
why not?
It's only distributed after the author becomes famous for doing something actually good.
But yeah, nobody really remembers like the 100 failures; they just remember the one success.
Right. Although Toriyama did have a 2-chapter manga called Dragon Boy, which was a prototype for Dragon Ball.
I actually didn't know about this.
It stars a boy who's more like a dragon than a monkey, but it does. Yeah, it's definitely like a alpha version of early Dragon Ball. So not that great, but worth seeking out. And it's only 2 chapters.
All right.
So after he finished Dragon Ball in 95, he kept cartooning. He did Kawa, Kajika, and Sandland were his most famous ones. And those are okay. And Sandland got a movie recently. I'm glad he lived long enough to see it. It's not out on DVD yet, but once it is, we'll cover it on this podcast.
Oh, I also didn't even know it came out.
Yeah, it's only out in theaters at the moment. Oh, he also did Nekomajin, a self-parody. But although before that, he did another self-parody called The Boo Saga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny to see an author do a parody of their own shit, though. You don't see that too often.
Despite how serious Dragon Ball got, he's always a gag manga artist at heart. He never takes anything too seriously, including himself.
Yeah, you can tell. It still seeps in through the series. He'll do dumb shit just because he thinks it's funny. I can respect that.
Yeah, that's why people love him. That, combined with the improvised nature of his writing, created something totally unique.
Yeah, just off-the-cuff shit. Like, I really think Dragon Ball is unique because of that. Like, if he actually, like, planned shit out, it wouldn't have nearly as much goofy bullshit.
Yeah, there'd be fewer plot holes. Like, it really is
the kind of work that comes from somebody who's just throwing shit at random, seeing what happens, like, what comes of it.
Right. If he was more disciplined, more organized, he'd probably be less interesting, too.
Yeah, I think that's what makes people like endeared to him so much, is because he really just seems like a normal guy.
Yeah, he's aware of how lucky he got in the industry. How many millions of people love him.
A lot of artists actually, are really fucking pretentious and annoying, but Toriyama's pretty humble and normal.
Yeah, and he kept doing work up until he died. He was still working on new Dragon Ball Super stuff till the day he died. And that new series coming out, Dragon Ball Daima. He came up with the concept and character designs too.
Man. I wonder if he worked on anything for Sparking Zero. Because I know they got him to do the design for Android 21 and Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yeah. So it has a list of video games here.
He worked on a lot of video games.
Yeah. Oh, the Tobal games. I forgot about those. So back in the 90s, when Squaresoft was good, they had this experimental period from like 95 to 2000, where they were coming up with all sorts of shit. And one of the games was this science fiction fighting game.
Okay.
Yeah, Toriyama did the character designs for it. And yeah, there's some same face going on. Like, there are several clones of Gohan. But there's also this buff Russian chick, some cool robots and dragon people. I think his art was at his best when he was drawing monsters. Like, it's been almost 40 years since the first Dragon Quest game, and people still love and recognize the monsters from that. Hell, I played Dragon Warrior 1 when I was a kid, and I was enthralled with how simple and cool the slime design was.
I mean, it's fucking iconic, dude.
Yeah, and even like,
it's kind of crazy. It's kind of all the shit that he's fucking worked on, and that's still like, that's probably one of the most iconic pieces of JRPG art, and it was just like a thing he did.
Yeah,
on
some
top
doodle.
Of like a million other things.
Some yeah, doodle he put out on a napkin,
and that basically became the fucking logo for Dragon Quest going forward, which is like the most popular JRPG series. It's not super popular in the West, but Japan fucking loves it. Like, they shut down their whole fucking economy like the weekend a new Dragon Quest game drops.
Yeah, because millions of people will skip work to get the new Dragon Ball game.
Yeah.
Or the new Dragon Quest game. He also worked on Blue Dragon, so he worked on three different dragon things.
Yeah. I actually played Blue Dragon. It was a weird game. It was only on the 360, if I remember correctly, which was kind of odd.
Yeah, because that system was not popular in Japan.
No, it did not get a lot of Japanese properties. It was mostly known as, like, the American console. That's where you played, like, your Gears of War and your fucking Halo and shit. That wasn't where you played. And, like, Call of Duty was really big on the 360, you know? All the American military shooters and shit. That was not, like, there was not a big audience for Japanese games on that console.
I never played a Blue Dragon game or saw the anime, but was it any good?
It was decent. I never finished the game because it was way too fucking long, and I was a kid when I had it, so I lost patience with it. But it looked nice, and I remember the combat being decent. The anime was different. It did not. It was kind of jarring because I watched the anime before I played the game, and it was not like that at all. It felt very different. Like, the story was completely unrelated. Like, it had the same characters, but they were like not nearly the same. But it was a fascinating show. It came at like this weird era where, like, I believe it was a Saturday morning cartoon. But that was like right at the end of that when they just stopped doing Saturday morning cartoons altogether. Like, I remember waking up that morning and going to watch the Saturday morning cartoons, and it was just like reruns of old people shows. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
and
fuck,
then they just
I love
doing
Lucy.
Saturday morning cartoons forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was shit like that, and like reruns of Judge Judy or some shit like that. And I'm like, where's
old people
the cartoons?
Shit. Yeah, I know yeah. The feeling.
Yeah, because I was just like a kid. I don't remember exactly how old I was. But I was like, wait, where the fuck are my cartoons? This is bullshit.
Yeah,
and
when
so
I was
I don't think they ever finished airing on TV, Blue Dragon. I was disappointed. That's why I never ended up finishing it. I assume you could just get it all online now, but I just never went back to it.
Right. Yeah, it's much
I don't
easier
fucking
to,
remember.
To distribute stuff
over.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, now shit just ends up on Netflix or whatever.
He also worked on Chrono Trigger, something we can't neglect because that's one of my all-time favorite games.
Yes. We can, however, neglect Chrono Cross because nobody fucking liked that game.
Some people like it. It has good things about it. The soundtrack is really good, for one, but yes, it's a confusing mess that shits all over the Chrono Trigger story.
I never played it, but I just know people have mixed feelings on it.
Which is a shame because Chrono Trigger is just tightly paced, really good-looking sprite work, gorgeous music. And yeah. It doesn't go for too long. You can beat it in like 15 hours.
Oh god, the music in Chrono Trigger is so fucking iconic. Like, I can tell, just like, I only played Chrono Trigger like once when I was like, god, I don't know, like 11 or 12 or something. I think I got it on like the fucking Wii shop channel or some bullshit like that, like the virtual console, and that's how I played it.
Yeah, when it came out in 95, I had a friend who bought a copy. And lent it to me. And I was just amazed. Like, I already liked Dragon Ball, and I liked JRPGs. I'd played the Final Fantasies, but this was something else. Just the incredibly high level of polish to Chrono Trigger, the multiple endings, the New Game Plus, and yes, one of the all-time best video game soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. If there's one complaint I have about it, though, is that the ending's not amazing. Like, the final boss is kind of, like, dumb.
I love the final boss. Spoilers, it's a giant space porcupine.
Yeah, but then you find out, like, afterwards, he's an alien inside the space porcupine. It's like, well, that kind of makes it dumb now. Like, the whole thing of it being, like, this giant alien monster was that it was like a force of nature that just had to be dealt with. Not that it's like a little green man controlling the monster. That's stupid.
Well, it can be both. I assume once you kill the porcupine shell and you fight the cell-looking thing inside, and then the tiny insectoid thing and its two bits inside that, I thought they were just like Russian dolls. Layers of protection for this one creature. But it is cool how Lavos has not a single word of dialogue in the whole game. It's just this creature that naturally occurs and spreads around to various planets to become a parasite.
But yeah, I think that works really well as like a villain character, because it's just like there is no like, it's not necessarily evil, it just is. It's just a force of destruction.
Yeah, in the 90s, there was a movie called Backdraft, which was about firefighters. And the way it was directed, it seems like the fire itself feels like a character. Feels like this menacing force that wants to kill the heroes. And stuff like Chrono Trigger that has a natural boss, a natural villain, reminds me of stuff like that. But you were complaining about the ending. You don't like the characters just having a celebration after saving every timeline?
Well, that part's fine. It was really more the boss fight. I consider the ending the boss fight because, you know, that's like the last bit of gameplay. I know there's more than one ending. I don't remember like how you get the other ones, but I know there's like three or four of them.
Yeah, it mostly depends on what period of time you beat the final boss in. Like, if you're in 12,000 BC and you beat Lavos, then you get an ending where reptites take over the world instead of humans. And you're at the Lean Square County Fair and everyone's a freaking reptite.
Wow, I didn't get that ending.
Yeah. Most of them are really only possible on either New Game Plus or you exploit glitches. Like I've seen speed runs of it where you can exploit a glitch to underwrite the boss's HP. So you can make it instantly go below negative by using certain glitched combinations of items and such.
Yeah. One thing I liked about Chrono Trigger is they use the time travel in like an interesting way instead of it just being like a dumb thing like a lot of people do. It's usually done really poorly and boring, but Chrono Trigger actually has interesting time travel mechanics.
Yeah, I wonder if it was inspired by Back to the Future.
Probably. That was a pretty big movie at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine people in Japan loving it, because it's both simple and cool, easy to understand, but still fascinating.
Yeah. I like how like each character had their own like thing with time travel. Like what was the nerd girl's name?
Luca.
Luca. Yeah, like she had a whole thing with like her mom. And like it's such a small detail. Like it's largely inconsequential to the plot whether you like help her with her mom. Like it doesn't really change anything. It's just something that you can do like to feel good.
Yeah, and it just changes whether her mom's in a wheelchair or not, and in whatever ending you have.
Yeah, like it doesn't really matter, but like it matters as much as you want it to matter, really. And I
it's
kind of
just
appreciate those little things.
yeah, it's just one of those nice little touches that makes that game so great.
Yeah. And then there's the whole thing with Chrono where he fucking dies.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that the main character dies.
Yeah, like very rarely do they actually do that in games, or really in any sort of property. If they do it, like they usually have a cop out for it, like they get brought back with a wish from seven magical balls.
Yeah, what kind of lazy ass writer would come up with something like that?
I know, fucking hack.
That is a problem in Dragon Ball, though, that they have a magic reset button that can fix like 95% of their problems.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of wrote that into the series at the very beginning. There isn't really a way to write around that.
But he
You just
also
have to get
introduced.
rid of them altogether, and then that would kind of ruin the show.
Yeah, he also introduced Senzu Beans in a series that's all about fighting to the end.
Yeah,
Just another
he
magic fix everything button.
probably shouldn't have did that.
Well, which is why, like, every Dragon Ball sequel has to come up with some bullshit reason why there aren't enough Senzu scenes beans to go around.
Yeah, it's usually just the excuse is usually just Korin is a lazy faggot. He didn't
Yeah.
bother making these magical beings that could save people's lives and possibly the planet he lives on.
In that fan comic, Dragon Ball Multiverse, there's a multiverse where Vegito stayed fused permanently. He defeated Boo and became guardian of the entire universe. And that he has a whole planet full of Senzu plants growing because he's not retarded.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like the logical thing to do, but then that just makes you be effectively like invincible if you could just like top off your health after every fucking fight.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, because he's not only the strongest in all of the universes, but he has a whole backup system of Senzu beans and other super strong people, and he has a daughter named Bra, but because he's part Goku, it's a different kind of character. And of course, she pops out of the room as strong as Perfect Cell, and that can cause problems, but I really like the
Yeah.
comic Dragon Ball Multiverse. It's still ongoing, still fascinating. In a
Yeah, I
lot of
haven't
ways,
read it in
it's.
a while, but it was a really interesting fan project.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's better written than the original. But yeah,
Yeah,
it's
they actually like
not so
thought through shit.
spontaneous.
Yeah. It's like it's cool, but it's not like as interesting as like something Toriyama could come up with. But
I don't know.
it is well made.
I like it better than Super, to be honest.
I suppose that's fair. The Super has a lot of problems.
Yeah,
Like, honestly,
they
the only good thing to come out of Super in terms of the show was like the Tournament of Power. All the other
Yeah.
arcs kind of fell flat on their ass.
Yeah, they really did not need to redo the two arcs from that were covered by movies
No, they really
with
didn't.
worse animation.
Yeah.
Then the preliminaries where they fight other universes, I didn't like those much. I think what is it, the Universe 6 Saiyans are annoying and shitty. I didn't like Hit
Yeah.
either.
I feel like they kind of dropped the ball with Universe 6. I thought that could have been a really interesting concept. Like, oh, there's this whole other like universe where Saiyans exist and thrive, But like, no, we're just not gonna do anything with that. Also, they're lame and gay. And there's also Namekians, and they all fused in, like, their entire race just fused into two people to be the strongest for this tournament. Like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder what this is gonna, how's this story gonna develop? Doesn't
wonder if they're gonna job during the tournament and not do anything interesting ever.
Yeah. God, that was such a fucking letdown.
Although it was a pure Toriyama move to have Fat Boo fall asleep and miss the whole tournament.
I have mixed feelings on that. On the one hand, that's kind of funny, but on the other hand, it's like, man, I fucking hate this character so much, dude.
Oh, he would have kicked ass during the tournament.
Yeah, which is why they couldn't fucking put him in it.
Yeah, he'd be turning people into candy and throwing them out of bounds. He has infinite regeneration, so yeah, he would have been a game breaker, but
like anybody other than Tien would have been good though, because fuck Tien.
I liked him when he's first introduced in the middle of Dragon Ball. Yeah. Because he's like
in the original Dragon Ball, he was interesting. Then after that he was fucking nothing.
Yeah, when he first appears, it's like he's also this martial arts prodigy, just like Goku, but he's working for the enemy team.
Yeah. That was like a cool, he had a cool rivalry with Goku. And then nothing else happened after that. He had one cool moment in Z where he fucking
slowed Cell down. Yeah.
Yeah.
He showed didn't up
beat him, but he definitely gave him a few good licks.
Yeah. He showed up to fight Super Boo, got knocked out with one kick.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but is still pathetic.
Yeah, it's like at this point, just write him out of the show. Bring Launch back.
She was fun.
Oh, she was. She was a great character. It sucked. Dude, I watched Z before I watched Dragon Ball, and like I knew of Launch because she's brought up from time to time and like this or that. But so I was like, man, I guess she just wasn't really that important of a character in Dragon Ball, huh? And then I finally watched Dragon Ball, and she's like in it constantly. She's like one of the main, like, crew members for fucking like Goku and Roshi and all that shit. And it's like, why the fuck did they write her out of the show? She's a great character and she's like super prevalent.
Yeah, and I love the gags where she sneezes and then everybody runs for cover because she's gonna pull out guns.
Yeah, it was a good gimmick.
Yeah, and the first character in the series to become stronger and have their hair turn yellow.
Yeah, she was the original Super Saiyan.
Yeah, when I tell people to go back and read Dragon Ball, I right from the start, I always give the warning that it has a lot of toilet humor, a lot of sexual harassment comedy. I mean, there's action right from the first chapter. You see Kid Goku killing a fish and fighting pterosaurs with his bare hands and shit.
Yeah, Dragon Ball was comedy first, action second, and then it kind of flipped by the end of it, and when Z hit, it kind of ramped up in that department.
Yeah. Yeah, around the first time they had a Budokai, and it was so freaking cool having Goku fight Jackie Chun. I guess that must have been really popular with the readers, because he just kept doing fighting tournaments after that.
Oh yeah, who doesn't love a good tournament arc?
Yeah, I freaking love them. Like, I've endlessly praised the Dark Tournament from Yu Yu Hakusho as one of the all-time best anime story arcs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I watched Yu Yu Hakusho like as an adult. I didn't grow up with it because, you know, that was like way before my time. So like I watched it like after I watched like Hunter x Hunter and like more modern stuff. And I was still blown away. I was like, this fucking rocks, dude.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, some of my favorite anime came out before I was even born. Like, going back and watching, like, 90s anime, fucking, like, some of this shit was just, like, fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think Hakusho aired on Cartoon Network in, like, 2003. That's where I first watched it. But fortunately,
yeah, I was just a little kid at the time, so I wouldn't have seen it.
It had a really good English dub, too. As I've mentioned on this podcast.
Yeah, that's actually one of the few that got a good dub. I watched the whole thing dubbed. I thought it was better than Japanese, in my opinion.
Yeah, same here.
I know there's a lot of dub haters, and I understand that, but not all of the dubs are bad. Some are actually pretty good. It's not just Cowboy Bebop, guys. There was more than one good dub.
Yeah. I know the industry is run by psychotic San Fran loonies, but it wasn't always that way.
Yeah, just stay away from Funimation dubs and like a couple of other smaller dubbing companies. There's some good ones.
I saw someone on the Fediverse say that Chainsaw Man had a pretty good English dub, but I have not seen it.
Yeah, I watched some of it in English. It was pretty good. Dubs are really hit or miss. It really just depends on who gets the licensing for it. If it's Funimation, it's fucked.
Yeah, which sucks because in the 90s and
Because they're
zeros,
like the big company, yeah.
Funimation was the top company.
Yeah, well, they used to actually do pretty decent dubs in like the aughts, but like now they don't.
Yeah, they used to give a shit.
Yeah, like all the people that were there that like actually tried left. They probably got tired of the office politics of it. So like the
Probably.
only good dub they have at this point is probably Dragon Ball. I prefer the dub over the Japanese
Granny
personally.
Goku was fucking cool.
I can't stand Granny Goku, dude. It fucks with me. I don't like it.
It's what I
I'm
grew
so you
up
can't make
listening
your
to.
hero sound. I understand that if you grew up with it, but I didn't. I always heard Goku was as Sean Schemmel, so he is Goku to me. Even though he's like a lipshit faggot, like his voice is Goku.
Yeah, he has that great, like a youthful superhero voice. It does fit him pretty well.
Yeah, honestly, the actors, they're all pretty asshole-y, but like they do good for their roles.
Yes.
So I won't diminish their talent in that. I just wish they weren't cunts.
Man, you Toriyama was one of my heroes. I liked so many things that he worked on. I know multiple artists who only started drawing because they liked Dragon Ball.
Oh yeah, and like a lot of my fucking buddies were real beat up after Toriyama died, because like he was such an inspiration to them. Whether they were artists or they were just guys who went to the gym, like they just like Dragon Ball is a huge. He was a huge. I think people really don't realize this. Like he's a huge influence on like fitness bros.
It's true.
Like people will fucking listen to like Dragon Ball music as they work out and like fucking feel like they're going Super Saiyan as they're fucking like doing deadlifts.
This scrawny little Japanese pervert cartoonist inspired a lot of guys to start lifting. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking great. I mean, fuck, you go into any gym, like half the time you'll see at least one person wearing like a Dragon Ball shirt or like shorts or something, like some sort of Dragon Ball like clothes.
If you go to a small gym with like five people in it at one time, then you're more likely to have TVs playing Dragon Ball Z than instead of the local news or some boring shit.
Oh God, why would you put news on at a gym? Do you want people to just like fucking fall asleep on the equipment?
I don't know. Maybe it gets them angry and therefore motivated to exercise. But yes, I've never pretended to do a Kamehameha, but I can see why people could
You did?
get
I don't
their.
believe you. We all tried it. Fuck you.
I never did, because I know comic books aren't real.
Nobody actually thinks they would actually like a beam would form in their hand. They just did it because it was cool. Well, it wasn't cool. It's by definition fucking lame, but everybody did it.
I remember it was about 2000. I saw a shirt with Goku on it at Hot Topic. I was surprised that it was popular enough in America that they sell merchandise here now.
I mean, it's been popular. Like, it pretty much popularized anime as a whole in the West. Like when that shit came to Toonami, that like changed the fucking game.
Yeah, I know. It's just I started reading the manga because a nerdy relative of mine introduced it to me when I was 8. So I got to see its rise to popularity in the States.
Yeah, unfortunately, not everybody had like a nerdy relative to do that shit.
Yeah, I got
Like
extremely
I
lucky.
didn't. Yeah, I didn't really have that like growing up. I had to be the nerd. I had to go out and find my own shit.
Well, it's easier with the internet to find your entertainment now. Back when you
Yeah,
had to
I
hunt
would
for
have.
fan subs, it was a pain.
Oh God, I couldn't imagine like the struggle it would be being a weeaboo in like the 80s. That must have been like a fucking nightmare to try to get your hands on something.
Well, ask our admin Moon. He was a weeb in the 80s.
Fucking bootleg VHS tapes and shit.
I think it was episode 9 of this podcast where me, him, and Cool Boy Mew talked about our histories as anime nerds. Yeah, episode 9.
Yeah, like by the time I got into anime, it was already like, it wasn't mainstream, but it was becoming more popular, and you could find it online. You didn't even have to look that hard.
When I first saw Evangelion, and it was the late 90s, I was able to find it all online, but it was really shitty, low quality,
Oh yeah,
real
anything
player
online.
rips, but it
Yeah,
was there.
anything online at the time was just like dog shit quality.
Yeah, but
Fucking
it was
I
anime for
remember
free.
watching fucking anime on YouTube. They'd cut it into like three parts and it would be at like 240p.
Yeah,
It
when
was
they had that
fucking
10
dog
minute
shit.
limit. Yeah, early YouTube was another wonderful thing that I would love to see a return.
Yeah.
Now you can't
There
even
is
say
just
faggot.
Like full anime on YouTube now for free. Like some companies just put their shit on there. Especially like some of the more esoteric shit that they know isn't really profitable. So they're just like, yeah, fuck it, just throw it on YouTube, make like $10 in AdSense a month.
It's
It's
free
something.
publicity.
Yeah. And people like it because, and they get free shit and it makes us look good.
Oh, in early YouTube, people would upload clips from Monty Python's Flying Circus, and instead of taking it down because of copyright bullshit, the surviving members of Monty Python decided to monetize it. So what they did, they just created their own channel and put their own clips on it, and they saw sales of their DVDs like triple.
Well, yeah, because basically just advertisement. And like, if you advertise a product that's actually good, people will buy it. Advertisement doesn't really work if your product is shit. Like, maybe that worked with like the boomers because they like their whole value system is around materialism. That doesn't really work with millennials and zoomers so much.
Can confirm, every boomer I know just automatically believes and does whatever the TV tells them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
Like, there
want.
are still like stupid people that do that, but that's like not as common.
Yeah, you can find young people who have a healthy hatred for the media. I hate to do too much generational astrology, but it is based somewhat on reality. There are lots of people born between 45 and 65 who have this really annoying, retarded mindset.
Yeah, I think it was just sort of the time they grew up in and like the culture.
Yeah, smoking too much weed at Woodstock blew out their brains. Although Toriyama was a boomer, but it's not quite the same in other countries. They don't have this psychosis that American boomers have.
No. Although Japan kind of has its own issues with their older generations. You're kind of seeing the ramifications of that now.
Their refusal to adopt new technology.
Yeah. They still use fucking fax machines. Like, who the fuck uses a fax machine? It's like, I appreciate old tech as much as the next fucking nerd, but like, no. It's called a PDF, nigga.
Yeah, I still use an old MP3 player because it works and it has buttons. But
Yeah, I can respect that.
but some old shit just does not work well.
Yeah, no.
You can read news reports from Nintendo in the 80s, and they were talking about how the Famicom would last forever, just like VCRs would. They didn't really have any plans for introducing new hardware until like Sega and other competitors came along and made home consoles with more powerful hardware.
Yeah,
So it was
it's really interesting reading like old shit from back in like the 80s and 90s, and like what they thought the future was going to be like. We're not going to get into it this week, but something I saw in Alita, a lot of the older like sci-fi shit had this where they still had payphones. And I just find that hilarious to me, because it's like, where are you going to see a payphone nowadays?
That does
It's
show
like
up
it's
a
a
lot
payphone,
in.
and it would have like a CRT TV on it. Like, that's what made it futuristic. It's like,
Yeah,
no.
everyone thought
Like, it's cute that you thought that.
the future was going to be video phones, and yeah, we do have them, but it turns out the future is tiny computers you can hold in your pocket that have millions of different functions.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they didn't really have an idea that's how technology would go, because computers were really bulky at the time.
Right, they didn't predict the increasing miniaturization. Plus, to be fair,
No.
in Alita, the scrapyard is this rundown shithole, and a lot of things are backwards there. Like, you can
Yeah.
murder someone on the street with a butcher knife, and almost no one will care about it.
Yeah,
So
I mean, that's
it
just kind of the whole cyberpunk genre in general. It's just about corporations, not soulless corporations, not giving a shit about lives. They're just a number.
Right. Yeah, Alita is my favorite cyberpunk story. I like it more than Ghost in the Shell, even the original manga, which, dear listeners, I know is very different from the 95 movie or Standalone Complex.
Yeah, I can understand.
Alita freaking rules, but we'll talk about that more when Mew is ready.
Yeah. Another property that Toriyama worked on, to get back to him, which was largely what this episode was supposed to be about, Dragon Quest, dude. I really like a lot of the Dragon Quest games. I think Dragon Quest V might be my favorite JRPG of all time.
Yeah, Bianca
It's
is
so
best
fucking
girl.
good. She is. Childhood best friend for the win.
Yeah, Five is a really good game. That's the one that introduced monster recruiting. I did it before Pokemon,
Yeah.
but not before Shin Megami Tensei or Wizardry 4.
Yeah. I
But
wish they did that in more games, because I think that's really interesting. It's like the
I
monsters
love
aren't
that.
necessarily inherently evil. Some of them can be reasoned with. I find that interesting. It's like they're just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah, I love the idea of recruiting monsters or other enemies and getting them to fight on your team. And it's also
Yeah.
optional. You can just have the hero, his
Yeah.
wife, and two kids if you want.
I kind of wish they'd do I kind of wish they do a concept like that, but you only recruit monsters. Maybe you play a more anti-hero kind of character. So the only people you can get in your party are monsters.
Wizardry 4 did do that in the 80s. You play as the villain, this evil wizard, that villain from the first game, and he somehow survives and w wakes up in the bottom of a dungeon, but he's very weak and he needs to recruit monsters to fight for him. This was like
Okay.
1986, so it's an old
Yeah.
idea, but
Yeah, the concept's not really new. It just hasn't been done a lot.
yeah, although there are lots of Pokemon clones on Steam.
Not any good ones.
I have not played Petal World. I've just seen memes about it.
That it's really not related to Pokemon in any way. It plays more like Ark. It's a survival game first and foremost. It just you have the option of recruiting Pokemon as slaves.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about it. Yeah, Dragon Quest. The games are not original. Like, even the first one was a copy of Wizardry and Ultima, and the creators of it even admit to taking huge inspiration from those American games. But
Oh, yeah.
what Dragon Quest does do is it refines it and makes it e both easily acceptable and comfy. When you whenever a new Dragon Quest game comes out, you can pick it up and enjoy it. There's not going to be any major gameplay or story surprises, but it's like comfort food. I do like the series, and I've beaten many games in it. Mostly in college, laying down in bed playing it on my DS. But I would say 5 is the best in the series as well, both for gameplay and story.
Yeah, the first Dragon Quest game I played was, I think it was 9. It was on the DS. And I don't know why I picked it up. I remember now. It was because of the art. See, I didn't watch Dragon Ball at the time. Like, I knew what it was because everybody knew what it was, but I wasn't, like, into it at the time because I didn't really grow up watching it. But I recognized the art style immediately as, oh, that's the dude who does Dragon Ball.
Right.
And for whatever reason, I was just like, I want to play this because it's the dude who does Dragon Ball. So I played it and I was like, wow, this is a really good RPG. And then I played 5 next, and I was like, wow, 9 sucks compared to 5, but it was still good. That's one of the worst ones in the series, and it's still pretty good.
Yep, you know exactly what you're getting with each new Dragon Quest, but they are well-done games. I do enjoy them.
Yeah. I love how, like, they're just... they're numbered, but, like, all of them feel, like, very different, but also the same.
Yeah, they take place on different planets, but they have a lot of the same monsters, same spells, same equipment. So you're going to see a lot of familiar stuff.
Yeah. So, like, I think 4, 5, and 6 were, like, on the SNES, I believe, right?
Yeah, they kind of formed a trilogy.
Yeah, and then 7 came out, like, on the PS2. It was a huge jump in, like, graphical technology since the last game.
Oh, 7 was on the PS1.
Was it? Which one was the... oh, I'm thinking of 8.
Yeah.
The dude with the bandana, 8. He was... that was 8, okay. Still.
Yeah, the one with Jessica Albert.
Yeah. But anyway, that's, like, a huge, like, it's just a huge leap, right? And then, like, you go to 9, and it's on the fucking DS. And it's,
yeah, they,
like,
really jumped around on different hardware there.
It was really interesting. And then, did 10 even, like, come out? Wasn't that, like, an MMO?
Yeah, that was online only. I don't know if it even came to America. Did that even
come out in the West? Yeah, I don't think that even came out in the West. I think that was a Japanese-only thing, and I don't think it did that well.
Yeah, let me check Wikipedia.
Because I never hear anyone talk about it. To be fair, Dragon Quest isn't really that popular here. It only, like, just kind of recently started getting popular with, like, 11. I remember when that came out, that a lot of people were like, oh, wow, this is actually a good series. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. I did play the first one when I was a kid. It was decent, but it was pretty primitive. You have just one character with like... almost no build options. It's like, you can gain levels and get new equipment. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that was just kind of how it was back then. Like, those NES games are pretty, like... I think it was on the NES. They were pretty primitive in general. There's not that many good NES games, in my opinion. But I'm just a Zoomer, so what do I know?
Yeah. Did you ever see Dragon Ball Online?
I've seen footage of it. I never played it.
I never played it either. It's another one that never came to the West, but...
I think there's, like, a fan server or whatever here. They translated most of it, and it's not legal, but, like, I think you can play it. I don't know how active it is. I don't play MMOs, really. I'm not a big fan.
I'm not either, but it had an interesting story, I thought. So the story of it is that Gohan wrote a book that easily explained how anyone could use ki. So as a result, almost everyone on Earth becomes a ki-powered martial artist.
Yeah, which honestly is kind of smart and how it should have been. I think that was kind of the direction they were going with in Super. Like, I think, like, that was Gohan's whole thing, like, for a while. He was trying to write, like, some paper for this university. And, like, I think they revealed later that it was about like key manipulation.
Yeah, because in the original, he's called a scholar, but they never say what he's studying or writing about. So he's a scholar of what? Turns out he was a scholar of Ki.
Which, I mean, that makes sense considering like he is that. He's a Saiyan. He's
Yeah,
technically
and a
like
non-retarded one.
He's probably like the third or fourth strongest person on that planet.
Yeah, well, at the end of Z, he is the strongest because
Yeah, at the end of
Vegito doesn't
Z.
exist anymore.
Yeah. I
I
mean, not
once,
counting fusion characters.
yeah, I once saw a comic, a fan comic. I can't remember the name, but it took place after Z, and you know how when Goku was a kid, when he first emerged from his space pod, he was an ordinary, violent little bastard, but then he hit his head, and that changed his personality.
Yeah.
Well, the plot of this fan comic was that after defeating Boo, he was training with Oob, and he got his head hit in just the right or wrong way to turn him back to his original personality. So he became Kakarot again.
Okay, so it's like Goku's evil again, that kind of
Yeah.
story.
I think this
That's
was
been
made
done a
be
few times, I think.
I think this was made before Super. This
I
was from like
remember
2012.
reading like a fan manga where it was like at the beginning of Dragon Ball, like when he hits his head, he's raised normally for a little bit there, and then I think he hits his head again, and then he kills Grandpa Gohan, and then he goes on to like conquer Earth or whatever.
Yeah,
And then
there's.
like Raditz shows up and he like kills Raditz or something. Like it was very edgy.
Oh, the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Dragon Ball wiki that largely sucks, but it lists a lot of obscure stuff like fan comics. So I'll try to look that up and put it in the show notes.
One that I've mentioned before is Dragon Ball Kakame. It's
Yeah,
made by a bunch of Frenchies, so.
that
But
one has
it
really
got
good
really good
art.
art. Yeah, it's got really good art, and it has an interesting story that I kind of wish, honestly, Super would have went with, which is like after like 17 wishes, like for all the universes to be undestroyed, he accidentally like brings back a bunch of other ones that really should have stayed destroyed,
Yeah, that
and
would have
so
been
it
a neat
starts out this
idea.
whole war between like angels and. Like these other universes, it causes this whole like universal war, and they have like only so much time to prepare for it. It's like that's really fucking cool.
I wish Super would have done that. And when they introduced the multiple
Yeah.
universes, I thought they would do something like that, but no, here's a universe with some boring gay Saiyans in it and another universe with a really buff gray alien.
Yeah, everybody loves Jiren. He's such a deep and complex character.
He's not as boring as Hit, I'll give him that.
Yeah, well, Hit's not even really a character. He's just sort of a plot device.
Yeah, he's a big, strong guy that everyone needs to overcome.
Yeah, he was super strong, so Goku had to do a Super Saiyan Blue and Kaioken. That's how strong he is.
And Super Saiyan White. I'm just gonna call Ultra Instinct that. I don't give a shit.
You're just gonna call it white power.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the name Ultra Instinct. I don't know if I like the direction it's going though, with like Ultra Instinct and Ultra Ego. It's just like the god powers. I feel like it kind of diminishes the whole Super Saiyan thing. It's like that's what made the Saiyans cool, is they technically have unlimited potential.
Yeah, well, that remember in the Buu saga when Vegeta sees his own kid and Goku's kid become Super Saiyans at age 7 and complains that it's a Super Saiyan bargain sale.
Yeah, I
That's
mean,
not a
it is.
dubism. That was a line from the original manga.
Yeah, I mean, it is bullshit. But like it exists. I know it exists just because Toriyama fucking loves the gimmick of here's a little kid that's super strong beating up adults. He
Yeah,
just
you.
finds that gimmick fucking hilarious and he does it
Yeah.
over and over again.
And all throughout his works, you see little guys beating up big guys.
I mean, it is kind of funny, but like you kind of expect it at a certain point if you've read any of his properties. It's like, all right, here comes this joke again.
Yeah, by the time Frieza showed up and he was a little guy who was surrounded by bigger guys, but it got a little old then.
Yeah. I mean, it was just what he liked.
Yeah, he had his gimmicks, but he did them well. So we've been going about an hour. Is there anything else you want to cover?
No, that's pretty much it. This was all just off the cuff bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not amazing at improvisation, but I'm glad we had this chat.
Yeah, it was fun. Toriyama will be missed, especially by the Mexicans. God, will they miss him.
Yeah. Go a month without any cartel beheadings, just to honor his memory.
Toriyama's out here saving lives even after death. He's just that guy.
Absolute hero.
But anyway.
All right. Good night.
Later.